This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ما جاء عيسى بالبينات قال قد جئتكم بالحكمة ولأبين لكم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على عبد الله ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. So we have a new time for tafsir. Now we change the time. The time for tafsir is going to be on a Saturday after Salat al-Maghrib in Gateshead where we are. So inshallah, I think today there was not, the scheduling was not done properly, right? So we apologize for that. But inshallah ta'ala, going forward, we're going to keep it on a Saturday. And the reason for that is that my work with Al-Madrasatul Umariyah, we have a live class on a Friday, which is overtaking this one and it's clashing with it. So we move this one to a Saturday. Jameel. We were talking about Surah At-Takwir, right? And we had done a bit of Surah At-Takwir, but I just want to revise a few points with you. So the first thing, the statement of Allah, Azza wa Jal, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ, when the sun is wound up. There were some different opinions we heard for this. Ibn Jarir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he gathered between all of them. So he said, لُفَّتْ فَذَهَبَ ضَوْءُهَا وَأُلْقِيَتْ فِي النَّارِ, the sun will be folded up, its light will disappear, and it will be thrown into Jahannam, and the sun and the moon will be thrown into Jahannam. وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ, with the stars will fall down individually, fall down separately. وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ, when the mountains will be, and here سُيِّرَتْ, it means حُرِّكَتْ مِنْ أَمَاكِنِهَا فَسَيَّرَهَا اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى, and they will become هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا, and they will be moved from their places, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause them to become like scattered dust. وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ, العشار are the camels which are in the 10th month of pregnancy, the she camel which is just about to give birth. And we said the Quran talks to the people, Allah Azza wa Jal addresses the people with what they knew, with what they knew. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the people with what those people knew. So the people in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you say to them, وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ, they understood what it meant. For them it was very clear. Al-Ishar are the female camels, okay? Now we don't know much about camels because we're not Ashabul Ibil. We're not people who keep camels. I mean, most of us, maybe some of you keep camels. I don't keep camels. So we don't know what it is like. But the camel that is a she camel and it is about to give birth, they said this was anfasul amwali عند العرب, the most important, the most beautiful wealth that the Arabs would have, to the point that they said a man would leave his children to look after this camel, the she camel, في الشهر العاشر, in the 10th month, to the point that the man would feed the camel and let his children starve. That's what they said. Until today, they say, Ashabul Ibn like this, that the she-camel, al-naqa, fi shahr al-ashir, in the 10th month, they give it inaya khasa. They really look after it in a way that they don't even look after their children like that. Some of them said they walked hundreds of kilometers. They just don't let the camel go. They keep it close to them. And Allah said, وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ. Nobody will take care of the she-camels. This for the Arabs, it's like, I don't know how to explain to you. It's like, you know, somebody taking the most expensive, beautiful car you can imagine and just throwing the keys on the road and walking away. Would you imagine someone is driving the best car that you can have, and out of the fear of what's happening, just stop the car, take the keys and throw the keys and walk away, run away. وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ. When the female camels who are close to giving birth, when they will be ignored by the people who own them. And that was unbelievable to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. You cannot imagine this situation happening. And it's something which is like the stars falling down from the sky. Similarly, that they would leave this wealth, which is the wealth they would prefer over their own children, and they would leave it for the sake of the fear of what is happening on that day. وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ. Al-wuhush, we said, are the animals which are not domesticated. And we have two types of animals, right? We have domesticated animals and we have wild animals. So what are domesticated animals? Give me an example. Like a cat, right? Like your pet cat. Like a horse, a donkey. An animal that doesn't run away from you when you go near it, and you keep it around you where you live, and it doesn't run away from you. It's called a domesticated animal. And then you have al-wuhush, wild animals, like the lions and tigers and all different kinds of the deer, the gazelle, and the, you know, all these animals that if they see you, they run away and they don't stay with where people are. Allah said, وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ. When those animals will be gathered together. The scholars differed, when will the animals be gathered together? What is this ayah referring to? If you remember, Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu an, the Sahabi, when he made the tafsir of this ayah, he said all of these six happen when? When did he say? All of the first six. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. He said all of these six happen before Yawm al-Qiyamah, and before the blowing of the horn. As the world is ending, the sun is rolled up and thrown, the stars drop down from the sky, the mountains fall down into dust, the camels are left, people leave the she-camels. وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ. Then what happens to those animals? Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, in what is reported from him, he said they will come around people and they will mix with the people. There will be no fear from them anymore. Like they will not run away from people anymore. They will حُشِرَتْ, they will all be together. They will all be together. Some of them said, this is Yawm al-Qiyamah. And they didn't agree with Ubay radiallahu anhu in his tafsir. They said, no, this is Yawm al-Qiyamah. Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah will gather all the animals together. So why will Allah bring the animals together Yawm al-Qiyamah? What's the benefit for Allah to bring the animals together Yawm al-Qiyamah? Will the animals go to Jannah? No, right? They will not go to Jannah. Jannah has its own animals. Yani Allah has created animals in Jannah, for Jannah. The animals of this world will not go to Jannah. Why will the animals of this world be gathered Yawm al-Qiyamah? Like Allah said, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا طَائِرٍ يَطِيرُ بِجَنَاحَيْهِ إِلَّا أُمَمٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ مَا فَرَّطَنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ. They were going to go back, they're going to be gathered to their Lord Yawm al-Qiyamah. So the question is why? why will the animals be resurrected? The Prophet ﷺ told us that on the day of resurrection, the animal that doesn't have any horns and the animal that had horns and hit the animal without horns, what will happen? And there's two sheep. One sheep has horns, any qarna, it has horns. And one sheep, it doesn't have horns. The one that had horns, you know, it stabbed the one that didn't have horns. What will happen yawm al-qiyamah? It will come in front of Allah. It will say, Ya Allah, he stabbed me with his horns. Make it fair between us. So even the animals, will justice will be done between them. And then Allah will say to them, be turab. Kunu turaban. And they will turn to dust. And the animals, they will not go to Jannah, they will not go to Jahannam. They will turn to dust. But every single animal, even the justice, Allah will make justice between the animals even. Even the sheep that had horns, and it stabbed the sheep that didn't have horns, Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the day of resurrection, they will come together and Allah will make it fair between them. وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ. Some of them also said that Yawm al-Qiyamah, the animals will be resurrected with the people. And when you stand out from your grave on the day of resurrection and you look around, the animals will be with you. And you will see around you lions, and you will see different animals around you. And all of you together will be gathered in that place, in the standing place, the people and the animals, for Allah to judge between them. Some of them said this as well. We now reached وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. And this is the first of the descriptions which Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu an said it will happen يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. So we said the sun and the stars and the mountains and the camels and the sea. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. There are three meanings to it. Three meanings to سُجِّرَتْ. سُجِّرَتْ, one of the meanings is that the barriers between the water, between the seas, will break down. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla said, مَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ يَلْتَقِيَانْ بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخٌ لَا يَبْغِيَانْ. Yani in between the water there is a barrier. Some of the ulama, they said the salty water and the fresh water don't mix. And the river puts the water into the sea, right? The water flows from the river into the sea. But the sea stays salty and the river stays sweet. And never you go to the river and the river is salty. Some of them said that's not the meaning. They said مرج البحرين يلتقيان بينهما برزخ لا يبغيان. It means the two seas don't mix. Anywhere, for example, the Pacific meets another sea, and the Atlantic Ocean meets the Mediterranean, and this sea meets this sea, the Red Sea, and all these different seas. These seas don't mix. So when you look at the Indian Ocean, it has its own characteristics. The salt water, the animals that live in it, the type of the water, the clarity of the water. When you go to Al-Khalij, for example, the Gulf, the water is completely different. Some of them said this is the meaning of بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخٌ لَا يَبْغِيَانْ. And these seas, even if they are connected, but the sea is completely different from one sea to the next sea, as if Allah put a barrier between them. The animals from this sea don't go into this sea, and the animals from that sea don't go into this sea, and the salt water and so on. Some of them said this. So one of the meanings is سُجِّرَتْ, all of it will mix together. So the salty water and the fresh water, and it will just become one sea. Some of them said سُجِّرَتْ means فُجِّرَتْ. Where did they get that from? Where did they get that? When they said سُجِّرَتْ, it means فُجِّرَتْ. We did already in Surah Al-Infitar. Infitar with a fa, yeah? وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ. فُجِّرَتْ, يعني it all kind of, it explodes into one. It all mixes into one. From the meanings of سُجِّرَتْ, is su'irat. Yani it became on fire. And some of them said this. They said when the time for Qiyamah comes, the sea will become on fire. You imagine that the people when they are running, it's a severe thing. The people will be like they are drunk, and the people are running from place to place trying to escape. And when they go to the sea, they will find the sea is on fire. The sea is on fire. I think those were the three meanings that I wanted. Okay, we said. Al-imtila, al-iqad, and al-yabs. Okay, that was the third one. It will become dry. Yani sujirat, it will become dry. Generally, when you read the tafsir of Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, rahimahullah ta'ala, generally what Ibn Jarir often does, not always, but often, he takes all of those things and shows you how to bring them together. Actually, you can bring all of them together. The sea will crush and mix and explode into one big sea, and it will be set on fire, and from that it will become dry. It's possible like that. Because the word sujirat in Arabic came with all three meanings. And this is something I just wanted to highlight for the people who don't speak Arabic. And even for the people who do. We often don't realize, we read the translation of a meaning of the Quran, but we're only getting one translation. But this word didn't come with one meaning in the language of the Arabs. It came with at least three meanings, maybe even four meanings. Three to four meanings. There is no reason why we can't take all of those meanings for this word. But you can't say that in English, right? When the sea explodes and the barrier breaks down and it all becomes into one, and then the salty water and the fresh water mix, and then the sea becomes on fire and then it becomes dry. How do you capture all of that in Arabic one word? Sujirat. So we don't really capture. You know that when you read a translation of the Quran in English, the meaning of the Quran in English, you're really only just capturing one opinion, and even then you're just capturing a little bit of it. So it's a lot deeper than that. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ We said, وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. This is where we got up to. وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. This is the first of the six, this is the seventh, right? After the six, we said the six of them, these six, in the narration of Ubay ibn Ka'b, radiallahu an, they all happen before the Qiyamah. So this is the first one that happens after the Qiyamah. Not all of them agreed, by the way. This narration of Ubay, not everybody agreed with it. It's not like unanimous or anything, but just out of interest. And he mentioned that these six are before, and the first one of them to happen after the Qiyamah is وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. Okay. And nufus is the plural of nafs, right? Nafs is a people. So when the souls, okay, the souls, زُوِّجَتْ, are paired up. Zawj, the word zawj in Arabic means a pair, right? I mean, before we talk about husband and wife, and the word zawj in Arabic means a pair, a pair. So here, zuwijat, what does it mean that the souls are paired up together? The majority of the scholars of tafsir, what they said is that it means everyone will be resurrected with the people who are similar to them. They said, everything, yani Ibn Kathir, he says, جُمِعَ كُلُّ شَكْلٍ إِلَى نَظِيرِهِ. Ibn Jarir said something very similar, rahimahullah ta'ala, wa rahimahullah al-jami'a, that every similar thing will be brought together. Some of them said like this, the Jew with the Jew and the Christian with the Christian and the idol worshipper with the idol worshipper. And every person will be raised with the people who they resemble. And this is very dangerous, wallah. We have to think about this. Because of two things we have in this. We have the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. A person will be resurrected with the one that they love. And we have also the hadith regarding whoever resembles a person is one of them, فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Whoever resembles a people is one of them. And this ayah is a further emphasis. وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. When the souls are going to be paired up, each one of them will be with the one that they were similar to them. And the danger in this is so many of us, we have the issue of tashabuh, resemblance of the non-Muslims, behaving like them, attaching ourselves to them, having love for them, affection for them. A person will be raised with the people who they are like them. And it's not just a tashabuh in what you wear, but worse than that is a tashabuh fi sifat, how you resemble them in your behavior. How many times do we have ahadith that talk about, for example, the khisal or the attributes of the munafiq? Four things, whoever has them, any four things that the person who has them is a munafiq, is a hypocrite. This is talking about the attributes of a person. And a person is behaving like the munafiq. Behaving like, they're not a munafiq. And in their heart, munafiq is somebody who doesn't believe in Islam in their heart, but they show Islam on the outside. They're pretending to be Muslim on the outside, but on the inside, they are not Muslim. No, I'm saying this person is not a munafiq. And he is a person who believes in Allah in his heart, but his behavior is the behavior of the munafiqeen. إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبْ. When he speaks, he lies. إِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفْ. When he makes a promise, he breaks his promise. إِذَا تُمِنَ خَانْ. When he is given an amana, he breaks his amana. The problem is that Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. You're going to be put together, your soul will be put with the person that you behave like them and you resemble them. So this is very important, that one of the reasons why we have our Islamic identity and Islamic behavior. We don't behave like the people who have other religions. We don't dress like them. We don't act like them. We don't talk like them. We don't worship like them. There's nothing similar between us and them. And our love is towards Islam and the Muslims before and above everything else. Our love for Allah and our love of what Allah loves. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. A person will be raised and will be resurrected with the person that they love. وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. This is what the majority of the scholars of tafsir, they said. طيب, where did they get this from? Apart from those two hadith. They quoted the ayah in Surah Safat. أُحْشُرُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَأَزْوَاجَهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا يَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Gather together, يعني resurrect, and gather together, and Allah resurrects them, and they gather, the angels are commanded to bring them together. الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا, those who oppressed, وَأَزْوَاجُهُمْ, and the likes of them, and either their spouses, the ones who were like them, the ones who will resemble them, and those that they used to worship, min dunillah, instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they are taken to, and they are commanded to take them to Jahannam, to Al-Jahim, wal-iyadu billah. So this is one thing. Also, the use of the word azwaj in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, when Allah said, وَكُنْتُمْ أَزْوَاجًا ثَلَاثًا. You are one of three azwaj. And the same word, right? Zuwijat. And you are one of three azwaj. In three groups. فَأَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْمَشْأَمَةِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الْمَشْأَمَةِ وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ The three groups who are the people of the right, the people of the left, and those who are السابقون, those people who are ahead of everyone else. So Allah used the word azwaj here to mean groups of people of the same nature, right? What puts you together? Azwaj and thalatha, you are one of three, in one of three groups, one of three kinds. Either you're from the people of the right, or the people of the left, or as-sabiqoon, the people who are ahead of everybody else. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from them. So here Allah used the word azwaj to mean all the similar people grouped together. So here the same thing. وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ When the souls will be put into their groups, will be paired up together. Everyone will be paired up with the one that they love and the one that they resemble and the one that they behave like them. They said, "Hum al-duraba," the people who are like one another. They are like one another. An-nudara, al-duraba, similar kind of terms. Some of the scholars, they said other opinions as well. Any Ata, he said, "Zuwijat al-nufus bil-hur al-ain." He said, "The men of paradise will be married to the hur al-ain." Anyway, then nufus zuwijat. Some of them said, and many of them also, they said, وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ And when the soul will return to the body. So here, the pairing up is the pairing of the soul to the body. Because we know that in the grave, there is a degree of difference in what is happening between, and there is a degree of disconnect. Ibn al-Qayyim spoke about the different situations between the soul and the body. And if I'm not mistaken from memory, I believe he mentioned five. Five different situations of the soul and the body. One is before the person is born. And the second one is when the person is born and living in this world. And if I'm not mistaken, in the situation when a person goes to sleep and their soul parts from them partially. And in the barzakh, and Yawm al-Qiyamah, in the grave and Yawm al-Qiyamah. The one which the body and soul are completely together in the most complete way is Yawm al-Qiyamah. Until then, there is always a degree, you know, the soul and the body, there is always a degree of difference between them or a degree of separation between them in some situations. But Yawm al-Qiyamah, this is when the body and soul are completely the connection of the body and soul is absolute because there is no sleep, there is no separation of the soul. We know after the person dies, the soul is taken by the angels, either to the heaven, the seventh heaven, or it is refused entry and thrown back down to the earth. And then it's returned to the body. That means that even in the grave, there is a time when the soul is separated from the body. And some of the scholars mentioned that the punishment of the grave, that it happens upon the soul and the body, but it is more. There is more of a concentration upon the soul. And there is more of an emphasis upon the soul. In any case, the time when the soul and the body are completely together and never separated again is on the day of resurrection. This is the biggest connection. So some of them from this point of view, they said, وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ And when the body and soul will be put together completely and never separated from each other again. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ الْوَأْد is the killing of a child. Any killing, a parent killing their child. Infanticide, right? That's what they call it. Al-wa'd. And particularly, al-wa'd is the killing of a baby girl. And this was the habit, or this was a practice that existed in Jahiliyyah, prior to Islam. But it is important to note, it did not exist among everyone in Jahiliyyah. And you should not think it was the case that everybody was burying their baby daughters alive. This was something that some qabail, they had it. Some tribes, not everybody. Some tribes had it. But it was something that was within some of the tribes, that they used to see a baby girl as a sign of like a curse. You know, something horrible that happened to them. And so when the girl reached a certain age, a little girl like a baby or a toddler, they would bury her in the sand. They would put her in the sand and they would put the sand on top of her until she died. And this, subhanAllah, would you believe, still exists in the world today. It still exists. It's not something that exists, walillahi alhamd, among the Muslims. And the Muslims left that jahiliyyah, walillahi alhamd. But among the, or at least, yani for, we hope so, but among certain non-Muslims, until today, they have this infanticide, which is targeted towards a baby girl. And generally, and just as a benefit, a side benefit, the real reason for this is really two things. Not understanding the status of a girl in Islam, and not knowing the status Allah has given to a baby girl. Allah has given a great status to her. And people, when they look down on that status, they go back to the ways of Jahiliyyah, even if they don't bury their daughters alive, but they mistreat them, they don't care about them. If they get told you're having a girl, until today, in Muslims, they get told that you're having a girl and the face you see, his face become dark. Like he's so sad and upset. Why is it a girl? I want a boy. And one thing which is leaving the sunnah as it relates to marriage particularly. Because what happens is that in a lot of cultures, they went the opposite of the sunnah. The sunnah is what? The mahar. The mahar is from who to who? The mahar is from the groom, the husband, to the wife. Some cultures are still practicing Hinduism today, where it goes the other way around. Yani the wife gives to the husband. And this is yani something which is not only an innovation and not only something which is prohibited in Islam, but it causes people to hate their baby girls. Yani, what is she going to do for me? Whole life, I raise her up, then I'm going to pay to get her married. She's not going to continue my lineage. She's not going to take my name. You know, her children will not carry on the family name. And I'm paying for her, and she's just a burden on me. Now this person went back to what? Went back to Jahiliyyah. They went back to the way of the people before Islam. And maybe it doesn't reach the level, you know, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ, where the girl is killed. But until this day, you look at the Hindus and people like that in India and elsewhere, until this day they kill their baby daughters. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ, she's going to be asked, in Yawm al-Qiyamah, that baby girl is going to be resurrected. And Allah will ask her, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ, what sin did you do that your father killed you? What was the sin you did? And of course, she didn't do a sin. طيب, here, the ayah talks about her being asked. Why does it not say that her father will be asked, or her uncle, or whoever killed her? Why does it say that she will be asked? The scholars, they said, because this is ablagh, this is more emphatic, that if Allah will ask her, then what will happen to the person who killed her? Does that make sense? Like, if it's not just that the person who killed her will be asked, Allah will ask her, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ, what was the reason that you were killed? What sin did you do? And she didn't do any sin, she's a baby. So now the punishment upon the one who killed her will be more, it will be worse. Because it's established that she died there was no reason for her to die. There was no justification for her to die. And this really I just feel it shows the status of how a people are without Islam. If you don't have Islam to guide you, and you don't have Islam to show you the right way to behave, you will go back to this. And we are not so civilized human beings. If you don't have something to guide you and something to show you how to behave and what is right and what is wrong, you will go back to that jahiliyyah, that way from before. So this, it emphasizes that everything will be asked about Yawm al-Qiyamah. And that baby girl, she will be asked, why were you killed? For what reason were you killed? وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. وَإِذَا الصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ. This is also along the same theme, but it's more general. وَإِذَا الصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ. When the scrolls will be put forth. And you will meet your account manshura, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. اقرأ كتابك كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. يعني you will be your own accountant on that day. No one else needs to take you to account on that day. You will receive every single thing that you did. There's a benefit here. In Surah Al-Kahf, when Allah Azza wa Jal described the reaction of the people to this scroll when they meet it. And your scroll will be rolled up when you die, right? Your scroll will be rolled up when you die. It's going to be rolled up. And on the day of judgment, you will meet that scroll again. Everything that you have done, you will meet it in front of you. Manshura, it will be out in front of you, displayed in front of you. In Surah Al-Kahf, when Allah describes the reaction of the people to that scroll, what do they say? مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. They say, what is this book? It didn't leave even a small thing or a big thing, except that it has enumerated all of it. All of it is written. Some of them said here, the scary thing is that Allah mentions the small thing first. لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً. The person, the first thing they see is that every small little detail of what they've done is written down. أَحْصَاهُ اللَّهُ وَنَسُوهُ. Allah, it counted it and recorded it and they forgot about it. And how many sins are there that we have forgotten about ourselves? We don't even remember we did them. Maybe we did them 2-3 hours ago. We don't remember that we did that sin. أَحْصَاهُ اللَّهُ وَنَسُوهُ. Allah counted it and wrote it and had it recorded and you forgot about it. وَإِذَا الصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ. On the day the scrolls will be put out and they will be spread out. And they will be sent forth to the people. Every single person will see the result of what they have done. Al-Dahaki said, "U'tiya kullu insanin sahifatahu biyaminihi aw bishimali." Every person will receive their scroll either in their right hand or their left hand. Qatada, he said, "Yabna Adam, tumli fiha." He said, "O son of Adam, you are the one who is filling up this. You are the one who is filling up this. You're filling up the lines on your, in your scroll. Then it will be rolled up. Then it will be given out to you on the day of resurrection. فَلْيَنْظُرْ رَجُلٌ مَاذَا يُمْلِي فِي صَحِيفَتِهِ. So let everybody look at what are you filling up your scroll with. كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا. A book that he will meet it and it will be spread out. وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ كُشِطَتْ. كُشِطَتْ here. وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ كُشِطَتْ. كُشِطَتْ here. The way it's explained is al-qala'. You know, if you have an animal skin, the skin on an animal, and you skin the animal, you remove the skin with difficulty. It doesn't just, you know, it doesn't, it's not like something that just comes off like that. And you have to, it like that, it becomes skinned like that and taken off like that. This is the meaning of kushitat. And yiquli'at bishidda, something like that they say. Qal'un an shidda. Qal'un an shidda. And they say that they use it for the skinning of an animal. They call it kasht, kashtul jild. That they took the animal and they separated the skin from it with hardship. And it came apart like that. That the sky will come apart like that. Allah Azza wa Jal elsewhere in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned what will happen to the sky. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned يَوْمَ نَطْوِ السَّمَاءِ, on the day when we will roll up the sky. كَطَيِّ السِّجِلِّ لِلْكُتُبِ, just how the scrolls are rolled up, the sky will be rolled up. This is before the sky is rolled up, and Allah knows best. And before it is rolled up, it will be ripped and pulled from its place and separated from itself. And then it will be rolled up. كَطَيِّ السِّجِلِّ لِلْكُتُبِ. It will be rolled up like someone rolls up a scroll. I wanted to see, I will just put the translation, if there is a good word for it. Sometimes the translation is good and sometimes it's not that good. Stripped away. Okay, that's not bad. Stripped away, that's not bad. That's not a bad translation. When the sky is stripped away. That's what kushitat it means. Like we said, it's used when you separate the skin of an animal, when the animal is killed and you separate the skin and you have to pull it with, it's hard, you have to pull it with force. This is the word kushitat. وَإِذَا الْجَحِيمُ سُعِّرَتْ. And when Jahannam, it will blaze. And it will be set ablaze. This doesn't mean that Jahannam doesn't exist. I mean, Jahannam exists now, right? Jannah and Jahannam both exist right now. However, the blaze that Allah will set Jahannam Yawm al-Qiyamah is not like any before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, because the fuel, what is the fuel of Jahannam? وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ, right? People and stones. And also the jinn. فَأَمَّا الْقَاسِتُونَ فَكَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَ حَطَبًا. And there are other things as well. The things that will be thrown into the that will be thrown into Jahannam. أَنْتُمْ وَمَا تَعْبُدُونَ, you people and what you worship will be the fuel for Jahannam. So when those things are thrown into Jahannam يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, the blaze from Jahannam will be more. وَإِذَا الْجَحِيمُ سُعِّرَتْ, and the fire will be set ablaze on that day. وَإِذَا الْجَنَّةُ أُزْلِفَتْ, and when the Jannah, when the paradise, أُزْلِفَتْ, it will be brought close. It will be brought close. Dahak, Qatada, and others, they said, قُرِّبَتْ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. It will be brought close to the people who will be from the people of Jannah. It will be brought close to them. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ. Every soul will know what it has brought or what it has put forth. This here is really the answer or the end of everything that has been said until now. And إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. Until now, all of this, when this happens and 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 this happens, عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ. At that moment, and when the sun is folded up and the stars fall down from the sky and the mountains are turned into dust, and the camels, the she camels are left, and وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ, when the wild animals are gathered, and so on and so on. At that time, عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ. At that time, every soul, نَفْسٌ here, because it doesn't mention a particular nafs, it means everybody. Everybody will know what have they brought. What have they brought in front of themselves, that this is what you have brought on that day. And this reminds you of the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah Ali Imran. يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مُحْضَرًا وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ تَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, on the day that every soul will see every single good that they have brought, and the bad that they have done, they will wish that there was a huge distance between them and it. On that day, everyone will know what they have brought forth. يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مُحْتَرًا وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ تَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا. And like the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, يُنَبَّأُ الْإِنسَانُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِمَا قَدَّمَ وَأَخَّرَ. That on that day, everyone will know مَا قَدَّمَ, what have they brought forth, وَمَا أَخَّرَ, and what have they held back. And we talked about this in the tafsir of Surah Al-Infitar, right? We talked about this, the meaning of, or in Surah Al-Infitar, or in Surah Al-Inshiqaq, Surah Al-Infitar. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. And we talked about the difference of the scholars of tafsir in the meaning of قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ and what it means. Very briefly, and I'm not going to go too much longer, but I just want to talk a little bit about, because this is an interesting one here. The statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, فَلَا أُقُسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ الْجَوَارِ الْكُنَّسِ. Allah swears by الْخُنَّس, الْجَوَار, الْكُنَّس. So three things, this thing that Allah is swearing by, it has three descriptions. This thing that Allah is swearing by, and we know Allah Azza wa Jalla swears by that which is mu'azzam, which is very important in His, for Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds it to be very important. That's what Allah swears by. Allah swears by something that has three descriptions. فلا أقسم بالخنس الجوار الكنس. الجواري الكنس. الخنس is that which, they mention two meanings for it. It's that which not disappears, but it hides itself. It hides itself, يختفي. And الجوار or الجواري is that which it moves along, and it runs along in a, and it moves along or it runs along. And الكنس is that which goes into its hiding place. Like an animal that has a particular, you know, like a hole in the ground or a ditch in the ground, and it hides inside of it. This is the meaning of al-kunnas. So what do we think that here, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swearing by? It has three descriptions. Al-khunnas, and we said, sorry, al-khunnas has two meanings. One is that it hides, it disappears. And the other one, yarji', it comes back. And it disappears and comes back. It disappears and comes back. Al-jawari, it runs along its course. Al-kunnas, and it hides in its place. It has a place where it is hidden from view. It has a place where it's hidden from view. Any ideas?
A snake.
A rabbit. I found two. Okay, there are three opinions. And the first one, and it's the opinion of the majority, is that it refers to the stars. Why the stars, and it's narrated from some of the Sahaba who said this. In fact, I will find which Sahabi it was who said it. In some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they said it. They said, "An-nujum takhnisu bin-nahar wa taknisu bil-layl." They said, "Takhnisu bin-nahar." In the daytime, the light of the sun eclipses the stars. So you can't see the stars. But they come back again. So they disappear and they come back. Al-jawari, because they run along a course, they are in the falak, they move in the sky, right? The stars, they move in the sky like the sun and the moon move, right? You see the stars, there is a place, there is, you know, you see it in a certain place in the sky, and then the next time you see it in a different place in the sky. And so they are jawari. And they are al-kunnas at night, because the stars do not appear consistently all the way through the night. They don't appear the same all the way in the night in the same place. Rather, they disappear and you can't see them, and then they appear again. And then they disappear and they appear again. This is the majority of the mufassirin. They said it's the stars. But you were not far away when you said the animals. When you said a rabbit, you were closer than the idea of a snake. You were a bit closer. They said al-dhiba, the gazelles, or they said Baqar al-Wahsh, the not antelope, the adax, I think they call it. Any that like the gazelles and the, you know, antelope, these that they, you know, you look at them and they just disappear. And you know, we have some deer near our house, which are very similar to that. Wallah, when they go, when they disappear, you cannot see that where they went. You're in a field, you see the deer, it's gone. You cannot see where it went. It's like it disappeared. Some of them, they said this. And some of them said Baqar al-Wahsh. They said the adax, I think you call it. And it's like that, the antelope and the gazelle, it's similar. And the dhiba, the gazelles. They are there, and then you look a second, they're gone. And they are kunnas, yani they have a place where they hide from people, and then they come back out again, and then they hide, and they come back out again. Al-Imam Ibn Jarir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he did what is normal. Ibn Jarir, many times he does this. And that he set the principle, or he continued upon the principle, that whatever Allah left general, you should keep it general. Like, there is no need to limit it to the stars or to limit it to the gazelles or the other animals. Rather, everything. So in this, when you said a rabbit, yeah, this will be included in it, according to Ibn Jarir. Everything that appears and disappears, everything that appears and disappears. Ibn Jarir kept it general. Why? He said, if Allah made the word general, we should make it the tafsir general. And many times Ibn Jarir rahimahullah ta'ala, he does this. And he follows this principle in his tafsir, that whatever Allah made mutlaq, we make mutlaq. Whatever Allah made it general, our tafsir is going to be general. Taib, the people who limited it to the stars, any idea why they limited it to the stars? What was, they have a very good evidence for it. What did they use to say that it's the stars? What was their, why limit it? Why did they specifically, majority of scholars of tafsir, why did they say the stars? What was it that brought them to that conclusion? Continue, what's the next ayah? فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ الْجَوَارِ الْكُنَّسِ وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا عَسْعَسِ وَالصُّبْحِ إِذَا تَنَفَّسِ. And they said the context of the ayat, right? And this is very strong, and this is a very strong evidence. The ayat talk about the thing which hides and comes back again, and it disappears and reappears. And then Allah said about the night, and Allah said about the dawn. So everything is talking about the night sky, right? The whole context, the siyaq, all of the context of the ayat are about the night sky. All of the ayat, they come meaning the night sky. I think inshallah ta'ala that's sufficient. I don't want to like make it too long. How long have we been going for? Almost an hour. That's more than enough inshallah. So inshallah ta'ala, next lesson we will finish Surah At-Takwir, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. We'll finish the tafsir of the surah, and we move on to Surah Abasa, right? We're on to Abasa wa Tawalla, right? We're going that way. We're going backwards. The reason we're going backwards is we start with the smallest surahs and the ones which are the most frequent. We read them the most in our salah, and they're the easiest to understand. And then we go to the longer ones. So we're getting towards, we've done three quarters of Juz' Amma now nearly. We get to the last little bit, inshallah ta'ala. So that's what Allah made easy for me to mention. And Allah knows best. Wassalatu wassalamu ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.